Welcome to a PDI podcast. I'm your host, Mark Oliver Wright, Clinical Science Liaison for the Central Region. With me today is Karen Hoffman, RN, MS, CIC, FSHA, FAPIC. Karen is a clinical instructor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the University of North Carolina's School of Medicine in Chapel Hill. Karen has specialized in infection prevention and control for more than 35 years. Including serving as the Associate Director of the North Carolina Statewide Program for Infection Control and Epidemiology, also known as SPICE. She is a Fellow in the Society for Healthcare Epidemiology of America and served on the Shea Journal Editorial Board from 1991 to 2001. She is a Fellow of APIC and has been the recipient of several awards, including the 2010 Shea Advanced Practice Infection Preventionist Award and the APIC Chapter Leadership Award. Karen has authored numerous abstracts, articles, and book chapters. She is the immediate past president of APIC. Hello, Karen, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Mark. It's a pleasure.
COVID-19 has been devastating across the world, and especially in the United States, but perhaps no specific setting has been more inundated in such a heartbreaking way as long-term care facilities. Can you talk a little bit about the impact that COVID-19 has had on one of our most vulnerable populations?
Yeah, sure. As you said, Mark, nursing homes have borne the brunt of the impact of COVID-19. One statistic really stands out. Residents of long-term care facilities constitute less than 1% of the U.S. population, yet represent around 40% of all COVID-19 deaths. So as of today, January 21st, that's about, of the 400,000 plus cases that resulted in death, about 160,000 deaths of residents, of which there are about 1.4 million people who live permanently in nursing homes. So each time that we see this, and from my experience and the data, I think that we can note that the COVID has really impacted, and each and every facility is still grappling at this very moment with providing safe care to its residents and workers as this pandemic continues unabated.
That is so heartbreaking. In addition, many facilities have locked down during the pandemic, and many continue to do so, not allowing visitors, including family members of the residents, to enter. Has the psychosocial impact of this necessary but deeply isolating tactic been examined? I guess I'm thinking especially of memory care facilities where the rationale for lockdowns may not be as easy to convey or even retain among the residents.
Yes, that's right. The concerns for the elderly should be more than just mortality rates. It's obvious that the elderly have been much more vulnerable to the physical effects of SARS-CoV-2, the virus behind the pandemic. But that doesn't mean that the only effects we should be concerned about are physical. As people around the world are learning, being stuck at home can affect one's mental, emotional, and physical health as well. Nursing home facilities and community events and in-person family interactions that pre-pandemic brought residents out of their regular spheres are no longer happening or are minimized and controlled. As explained in a United Nations report, these new levels of isolation can really exacerbate existing health problems while also increasing fear and emotional suffering. Some of the studies have noted a 50% increased risk of dementia, a 32% increased risk of stroke, and even a 29% increased risk from coronary disease. In 2019, the Oregon Health and Science University study found that video chats, just video chats alone, were able to have a 50% lower risk of dementia than just relying on social media or emails. So although the CDC and CMS have outlined specific guidelines for those in long-term care facilities, it's still so important to consider all the ways that we can help the elderly be safe mentally as well as physically.
That study with the showing the benefits of video calls, that's just fascinating to me. It's amazing.
It's such a small way, but it's such an important way to make that connection for the residents with their family members.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It hadn't even occurred to me that would have such an enormous benefit. I feel that it's almost, it's making do with what we have available, but it seems like such a great idea. So, Karen, what, if any, lessons do you hope will be learned as a result of this experience? Do you think that there are reforms for the long-term care industry that are needed as a result of the events of 2020 and today?
Well, we have a saying in the world of infection prevention and control that I know you are familiar with, Mark. Outbreaks are opportunities for improvement. I think everyone would agree nursing homes were not prepared for this pandemic with adequate training, staffing, or available PPE. Most facilities did not have a trained infection preventionist on site, and there's also an issue for those who do to have an IP that allows them enough time to actually manage the infection control program. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, is responsible for oversight that nursing homes are providing safe care. But CMS only began to require a trained IP for each facility in November of 2019. CMS citations for noncompliance with infection prevention and control regulations for many years have been the most or second most cited given to nursing homes. But this has had little effect on improvement. Why? Well, I did a review of all the 2018 CMS infection prevention and control nursing home citations. The CMS citations are not all the same. They vary in scope and severity of penalty into three groups: low, middle, or high level violations of noncompliance. A through D low level citations result in generally only in requiring a written plan of correction. E through H are the mid-level citations where they will have to write a plan of correction and they may have a small level penalty or fine. It's not really till you get to the IJs or immediate jeopardies, which are I through L, high-level scope citations, that you get significant penalties and requirements for correction of risk being removed or risk the removal from Medicare, Medicaid reimbursement. In 2018, surveyors identified 6,756 infection prevention and control violations in U.S. nursing homes, of which only 25 were considered high level. That's less than half of 1%. That's a problem because as surveyors see these same infection prevention and control problems year in and year out, most are not remedied unless they meet these high level citations. There's also an issue with infrastructure. Most nursing homes have shared rooms, shared bathrooms between multiple residents, often with even just one shower or bathing room per unit or floor. Residents live there for months or years in these congregate settings, and so the facility really becomes their home with group dining and activities and shared staff. The residents may shuttle between acute and long-term care and so have a high risk of exposure to these medically significant pathogens. So when the coronavirus isn't front of mind, other infectious diseases like the multi-drug resistant organisms, flu, and Legionella will continue to threaten the lives of nursing home residents. I really hope this is a wake-up call to the federal agencies responsible, which is primarily CMS, and the nursing home industry, that the status quo is no longer acceptable. There is much that can be done to make the nursing home safer with reducing infection risk and improving outcomes. But the resistance has really been strong up to now for implementation of the infection prevention control measures that would affect these changes.
Wow. Thank you for joining us today, Karen. Here's hoping that 2021 brings you and everyone health and happiness.
Thank you, Mark.
We just heard how COVID-19 has ravaged the long-term care community in the United States, how upwards of 40% of all the deaths due to COVID-19 occurred in this setting. I don't know about you, but of all the facts, figures, and data over the past year plus, this is the number that has haunted me the most. As highlighted in Karen's comments, long-term care facilities have historically been resource deficient and deserve more as a call to action. At PDI, we are committed to being the difference throughout all healthcare institutions with proven solutions for cleaning the environment, personal hygiene, and infection risk reduction, all with the clinical and customer service support for every stage of life. To learn more, visit us at PDIHC.com. This has been another PDI podcast. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for all that you do as you continue to be the difference.